Okay, Shalom Aleichem, everyone. So again, we will continue in our voyage through Mishnah Berurah. We're learning Hilchot Tzitzis, Simen Ches. And today we are up to Yud, which is on Bam and Lechamer on page 27. Now again, mentioned last night, today is the Yortzeit of my mother-in-law, Shalom, Etovas Ruchaim Shalom. So the learning will be as close for her neshama. Okay, so yesterday we talked about that before we put on tzitzis, again, it could be a talis katan, as we call it, or a talis. Before that, you should check the tzitzis. So now we've gone through a few things that one should check. First of all, you should make sure they're not tangled. And again, we're not talking about Shabbos. Shabbos, some say there's a problem of untangling them, but be that as it may, let's say during the week, you should untangle them. You should also make sure at the hole where the tzitzis go through the four holes on each of the corners to make sure none of the tzitzis are severed or cut, because that would make them puzzle. And therefore, if one would make a bracha, that would be a bracha of atala. So in Yud, the Machaber says, Im lo vesh talis katan be'od she'en yadav nekiyos. Let's say you put on a talis katan before you wash Negavasar. Maybe you did this. Again, there could be other circumstances. So then, next page 28, yeah. Yo beshenu blo bracha. So then, put it on without a bracha. Now, you can't make a bracha because your hands are not, so to speak, brachable. And then, kashiyeto yadav, and then when you do ultimately wash your hands, yamash mesh batzitzis, you feel the tzitzis, you touch the tzitzis, you feel the tzitzis, via varkalav. And then you can make a brach on it. By doing that, by feeling, holding, touching the tzitzis, so then, as the Mishnah Berurah says in Chav Gimel, yechashev ksas ki ilulav sho'az, because then it's considered a little bit like you're putting it on them, by holding it, by touching it, you know, by feeling the tzitzis. Or, kishiyobash talis acher, or the other possibility, so again, then you feel the tzitzis and you make a bracha on them, even though, so you don't have to take off the whole talis katan and put it back on, rather you just feel the tzitzis and that would be sufficient, then you make the bracha. Or, kishiyobash talis acher, when you put on another talis, you baruch halav, make a bracha on talis number two. V'yechav en liftar gamezeh, and then you have a mind to take care of the bracha that you're making now, will also cover the original one that you put on, tzitzis number one. Vein tzar kamash b'tzitzios shal rishon. Excuse me. And then you do not have to feel the tzitzis of the first one, because by putting on the second one, that would be sufficient. The Mishnah Berurah points out that this is what we do, right? Because maybe if you're going to an early minyan, so it's too early to make a bracha on the tzitzis before time we say mishiyaker, so you put them on. Then if you come to shul, again, if it's a single person, so they feel the tzitzis, make a bracha. Or if you're a married person, you wear a talis, so then again, that would be option number two, so you put on the talis, and when you make the bracha, so then you have in mind the talis katan. In fact, Mishnah Berurah says that's the best thing to do anyways. In other words, you, as we saw before, you do not want to make a bracha on the talis katan and then make a bracha on the talis gadol, because one bracha would suffice, so therefore put on the talis katan, and then when you put on the talis gadol, so then you make a bracha on that. And that covers the talis gadol. Right, and now the Mishnah Berurah talks about, again, if you would make a bracha on both, as I mentioned before, that would be a bracha sheino tzricha. Okay, very interesting in Yud Aleph. Ikar mitzvahs talis katan lavsho al begadav. So the main mitzvah of wearing tzitzis is to wear the tzitzis on top of your clothing. Why? So you see the garment all the time, and you see the tzitzis all the time, and you remember the mitzvahs, right? That's the whole idea of wearing tzitzis, is to remember the mitzvahs. Now, if you look in the Mishnah Berurah Chaf Hei, the Mishnah Berurah says, so again, you see people doing that, right? Like my brother-in-law is chassidish, so he wears his tzitzis sometimes on top. Now that's an additional hassle for the wife because then the tzitzis have to be ironed and look nice, you know, like. Okay. But you see people do that. We'll talk about that in a second. But the Mishnah Berurah brings out ksavim isa, the talis katan tachas begadav, that you should wear the talis katan under your clothes. Kasam Avram, Dal Kopanim, Sarkshu at Sitzis mi bachutz, Velo ke enok shetokun osam kanafas. That the Mag Avram says, even if you wear the talis katan under your shirt, so the shirt is visible, but the talis katan is not, but the tzitzis, right? The tzitzis should be visible. Tzitzis should be visible, and he says, not like those who stick them in their corners or into their pants. And then the Mishnah Berurah ends up, you know, people who, though, deal with goyim, and they're amongst the goyim, so so then they don't have to have their tzitzis sticking out because of the obvious reasons. But during the bracha, they should be out. They should be seen. So now, this is a whole big issue. So let's say, according to what we're saying now, according to the Mishnah Berurah, let's say you have, according to the Litvisha Minog, that you wear the tzitzis under your shirt. But this, you should wear the tzitzis out, right? Like you see people doing. So it's very, first of all, let's go back to the issue of wearing the tzitzis, the whole garment out. So now again, obviously that's a legitimate minhag to wear the whole thing out on top of your shirt, right? And you see people do that. And the reason is, as the Machaber said, so that you see them. In other words, you see the tzitzis. In other words, you don't just see the tzitzis, but it's more. There's more of an awareness because you got the whole thing out. So I'm reminded of a very famous story, and that is there's a very famous picture. Many people have it in their home of Ramosha Feinstein, Zechut Zadav Racha, and he's up in the mountains, and it's, you know, he's wearing one of those European Litvisha Roshiva's yarmulkes. You know, my father always wore that for a little while, you know, the square ones. And nobody wears those anymore, I don't think. He's saying, and he has his tzitzis over his shirt. And he's wearing his tzitzis over his shirt. So a lot of people learn that, Ramoshi used to wear his tzitzis over his shirt. So believe it or not, I asked about that. You might have heard me speak about it before. And they said, no, that it was around that time Ramoshi got a pacemaker. And so there was a little incision in his chest and, you know, a clothes, but still it irritated him to wear, you know, tzitzis made out of wool. So it's, you know, kind of itchy, irritating. So for a while he wore the tzitzis over his shirt for that reason. So again, I'm bringing that up just because, you know, you might see something and say, ah, you know, whatever the goal, but you really have to find out. You have to ask a Talmud. Even if you actually see it. I think Rabbi Blue, Zechut Zadav Racha, also, when he visited the shul, he was wearing his tzitzis over his shirt. And I think I asked him, you know, like, and he also said he had some skin issue, and so it bothered him to wear it normally, normally for Litvisha people. So there was a while he wore the tzitzis over his shirt. But getting back to the point, so this is a very famous Mishnah Berurah, because the Mishnah Berurah again in Chaf Hei says that tzitzis should be out unless there's a extenuating circumstances being amongst the goyim. So where the tzitzis out? So again, even if you have the beged under your shirt, but where the tzitzis out? Now it's very interesting. Rav Moshe has a tshuva. It's a very famous tshuva. Nigros Moshe Chelak Archaim Chelak Al Simon Gimel right at the beginning. There's a whole long drusha about tzitzis, and in there, in the middle, or he says through his lumdus that there is no mitzvah to see the tzitzis. So he's again. I don't remember if he actually wore his tzitzis out, you know, under the kapata. I don't know. I don't remember. But again, he disagrees. And according to that, you could wear the tzitzis in. Again, maybe at the time of bracha, you should, you know, obviously have them out. But again, this is a very interesting discussion, again, about wearing the tzitzis on your shirt, under your shirt, and then what do you do with the tzitzis themselves?
So what does he do with the resemblance?
So he says it's a number of pages, it's a shir. So he says the Rambam holds that way. Very interesting.
Okay, also, it sounds like the sock is that a person, if they wear their tzitzis in, they should have them out when they make the bracha. If they wear them in and they're wearing a tallis gadol, is that sufficient? Or they have to
right,
take out
the, so that them? Should be enough, again, because you're making the bracha on the tallis gadol.
So we would not have to take
right,
out the tzitzis
right,
from the
okay. Right. Usually, again, I think practically, if you're making a bracha on the tallis katana, on the tallis gadol, let's say a single person, so you know they have the tzitzis on, they're holding it or something, they kiss it after, you know. I think it's just you know. Okay, Yud Beis. Im yesh lo kama begadim shel arba kanfos. If you have a number of garments that are four cornered. Now, don't forget, we're going to talk about this in a second. We'll talk about that later. But don't forget, in the old days, their garments were four cornered. We don't really have that anymore. The only thing, there's only two things I could think of that are really four-cornered. A poncho, good old Mexican poncho. I was at a wedding many years ago, and one of these guys come out, you know, during shtick time. He's wearing a big Mexican sombrero and a poncho, and on the poncho he has tzitzis. Wearing tzitzis on the poncho. So how he pulled that off, I don't know, I don't remember, but I said that's what he had. And believe it or not, the only other thing that is four-cornered that I could think of is a kapata, believe it or not. All these Rosh Hashivas. And I remember somebody told me, I didn't believe it. I never noticed it. I don't wear one. And, you know, like. But I remember when I lived in Rosh Hashivas' house, I looked at the Rosh Hashivas' kapata when he wasn't wearing it. And indeed, you know, it's very interesting because the slit goes very high up. And in the back, it there's two corners in the front. And indeed, it's four corners. So it's very interesting. So then the question is, how could these big reshivas and gedolim wear a kapata? So the answer is they round off. One lies on top of the other, and the one that you don't see, they round off. So there's only three corners. There's not four corners. But it's very interesting that, you know, like the ultimate from Lavush is something that's kind of interesting that, you know, like there's a Shiloh with it. So, but besides that, like again, in the old days, they used to wear four-cornered garments, a lot of four-cornered garments. But we don't. So let's say you're wearing a number, not just one, not just a poncho, but a number of garments that are four-cornered. So you have ve'im lavshan kula below hefsek, and you put them on basically at the same time, with not a big interruption in the same. At the time of the Hayo Daito Mitchila Akol, I'm in number two. Number one is that you're putting them all on basically at the same time. Number two is you had in mind all of them. So then, Lo Yivarech El Brach Achas. So then, you only make one bracha on all the whatever amount of four corner garments you have. And that covers all of them. Now, the Mishnah Berurah goes through a very interesting idea. And that is an interruption. Again, if you interrupt between, one of the conditions is you don't interrupt in between, so then you're putting on all these four-corner garments, so then you just make one bracha. It's very interesting at Kobe's wort, so his kalas has the youngest kid in the family, the only son, his name is Chaim Pinchas. Because they're related to Scheinberg and Zechatzak Brocha somehow. So he's a really cute 8-year-old boy. So I told him, I met a number of times your namesake, it's kind of spooky, little kid, and he knows he's named after Adam Gadol, but it's like broken away, So then I don't know what he feels seeing this old man say, yeah, I actually met him, I don't know. So one time I was talking with an older man, and I was talking to him, I think I remember who it was, but I don't want to say, and somebody came up to me and said, that hand you just shook? And I said, yeah. He said, that hand shook the hand of the Chofetz Chaim. A person, I was a Talmud or learned by the Chofetz Chaim, met the Chofetz Chaim. So you just shook a hand, which shook the hand of the Chofetz Chaim. So I don't know, for me that was very, I was like, wow, So I don't know if Chaim Pinchas felt something special that I said, when I was young, I met the, start
so
aging.
So what makes the bracha before the first one or after the last one?
After the last one, because you want to cover all of them. Now, this brings up the whole issue of a hefsek, of an interruption. And so the Machaber says, as long as you didn't interrupt in between. So the Chofetz Chaim says in Chav Ches, Hainu behefse gadol. That when we talk about there was a break, there was an interruption between donning one garment and another garment and another, like I don't know how many you had, but whatever amount of four-cornered garments you had, it has to be a big interruption in order for there to be a question. Maybe you have to make more than one bracha. And therefore, that would be considered, as the Chofetz Chaim says, a hesek hadas. Be like you remove your consciousness, your thought from this mitzvah, from continuing with this mitzvah. But if it's just a small weight, a small gap, so he brings down the Magen Avram, and again, you were quiet. So again, really, you should put them all on quickly. But if there was some gap, and you didn't speak, so then he brings down from the Magen Avraham that just waiting would not constitute a interruption. And even I feel him shah harbe yose mikde dibor. Excuse me. Even if you the wait between garment number one, garment number two, or three, or four, whatever, was more than Kedei Dibor. Kedei Dibor we know is about 2-3 seconds. So let's say you waited even more than that. Again, as long as you didn't speak in between, so then as long as your consciousness was still there, so then a small wait or gap in between donning different four-corner garments would not be considered an interruption, and one bracha covers everything. Excuse me, I misunderstood what you said before. Make the bracha before the first one.
Is that over Latzios?
Yeah, excuse me. I was.
So you make it in mind that they're going to put on other ones after.
Right, okay. And then you have in mind, right, I'm sorry, you have to correct that. Right, you have in mind before you put on the first one, then the second one, third one, fourth one. Now again, let's say there's four, and you did not interrupt in between, and you had in mind. So then that's the issue. The issue that we're dealing with right now in the Mishnah Berurah is what we can constitute an interruption. So now, slight tarrying, waiting, would not, even if it's more than tokde dibur. But how about if you spoke in between putting on number one, number two, number three, number four, or whatever, whatever it may be. So then it's a famous idea. So the Chofetz Chaim says, if the speech was concerning the clothing, you know, the wearing of the, putting on the clothing. So then, for example, a person said, you know, give me the next garment. So then the Chofetz Chaim says, Ein tzarich lachzor levarach. So then that would not be considered an interruption, and you don't do not have to go back and make a new bracha. But if it wasn't, you know, something about that, you know, when are the Dodgers playing again, right? You know, doesn't have anything to do with that. So then, if it wasn't concerning the putting on the clothes, so then he says, so then he says, it's machlokas. The Machaber says, in Yud Gimel, and also the Magen Avraham, and other acronym, that even just some random thing would be considered an interruption. You'd have to make a new bracha. But there are other acronym that hold that if, again, that you would not have to, even in that case, you would not have to go back and make another bracha, even though, let's say, you were talking about the Dodgers or whatever. So, therefore, as you know, so we would not go back and make a new bracha in that case. But obviously, the Chofetz Chaim says you should be careful not to do so. Okay, we went a little over time. Mirtz Hashem, yes, we will continue this B'li Neder tomorrow. Okay, Mincha is in 8 minutes.
Thank you.
Okay, Yashkoch, everyone.